We're thankful again this evening to be able to be here. And the Word of God is digging deep, plowing, uprooting some things, we hope, confirming some things, we hope. And we'd like to think, and we've been praying and asking to this end, that when this meeting is all over, when we weigh everything out, that we'll each be able to say it's been good to be in the meeting. And as we go on our way, our Christian walk of life, as we continue in our daily doings, that we each will have more power with God in the little things of life. That's where the victory's won, folks. It's won in the little places. It's won in the places that may seem to be a little insignificant, but it's those victories that help us to mount up. I pray that our homes would be more united and richer in faith and confidence in God after the meeting. I pray that the Lord has placed in our hearts and etched deep within our souls the fibers of our being some duty that He puts upon us and puts in our minds and hearts to carry out. In short, I hope that we'll never be the same, but we'll be a better people. I've been thinking about two things today. They keep coming to my mind in relationship to the Word that the Lord has been giving us. There's a passage in the Scriptures that says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And the thought just kind of come and go today and off and on. What kind of a condition would I like to be in when I stand in the judgment? How would I like to be situated when I stand before God? How do I want to appear at the most important setting that I'll ever be called to? Quite a thought, isn't it? Several things come in and out of my mind as I thought about this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to happen. It's going to be so. It's certain. And if you feel some pressure and you feel a little discomfort while here sitting under the Word of God, think what it will feel like to be in the presence of Holy God. Pressure? Little discomfort? God help us all. Help us all. The Lord has ordained and wishes nothing but the best of success in holy living for each and every one of us. And when we come to that time, an old song, I don't hear it much, but I've heard it long ago, it's when we lay our crowns down at Jesus' feet, when we lay everything down at His feet, you're going to have something to lay down, see? You're going to have something. God help us to come before God. We're going to have something. It was Hezekiah who was sick unto death. There he rolled over to the wall and began to pray. And he asked the Lord to consider his life. God help us tonight to consider our lives. Consider my life. Can you say tonight to God, consider my life? That might be kind of an experience that we might not be ready for right now. But he said, consider my life, and went on and wept there. And the Lord obviously considered it and stopped the prophet out in the court and sent him back. Tell him I've added him some more years of living. Well, the Lord is looking on tonight, and our lives and how we're doing and how we're not doing, all of that is forever before the Lord. It's before the Lord all the time. It's not a matter of I get in a tight spot and I say, Lord, consider my life. He's been weighing and considering it all along. All day long, He's been considering our lives. And so we have the Word for tonight. The 29th chapter of Isaiah, There's two or three verses here that I'd like to read. When I first read these verses and looked at them, I had to stop and just really ask God to help me to get a hold and let the real impact of it just settle down in my soul and really stir me and move me. And the verses that we want to consider is starting at verse number 8. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Have you ever dreamed of you gone to bed maybe a little hungry, and you dream about the grandest meal you could ever think about? You know, in that dream, as long as the dream is going on, everything seems to be so real. But then you have to wake up. And when you wake up, you're no more full or filled than when you started. You're empty. This is the thought that's on my heart tonight about being empty. And we can be full. Empty. It's like a hungry man that dreams. There are folks that fantasize and daydream and dream and hope and wish to be in a certain place with God, but dreaming doesn't get us there, folks. Hoping and wishing doesn't get us there. The poet writer said, stop wishing that you had it. God help us. Stop wishing. Stop hoping to feel it. Oh, there's something more real about God, and it seems a thread of this meeting has been knowing the Lord in the reality of it all, and being real in your own experience, and being real in everything, and the word real to you. That seemed to be a thread that keeps coming back and forth. But here's a thought before us tonight. It'll be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. Hungry man's dreaming, and he eats in the dream. But he awakened and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh. But he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint. And his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Oh, listen, folks. It's a perilous thing, a perilous place to be in, to resist God, to resist the things of God. Here the writer is bringing out some thoughts about resisting and fighting against Mount Zion, God's holy Zion. But I'll tell you this tonight. You're going to put yourself in a place to where you'll end up empty resisting God and standing out against God and the things of God. You'll be empty when it comes time when you need to have something, when you ought to have had something, when you should have had it all settled and all of that. I remember in Sister Catherine Williams brought us some services, and she told us about a dear sister who got down close to the end of the way, and she happened to be there at her bedside, and she said the sister began to be in a real urgency, a real earnestness about the Lord, and she was questioning and asking, and she began to request that, would you call this one for me, please, and tell him so and so, and would you call that one, and would you do this? And it seemed that as Sister Catherine worked with her and saw her condition, she said, thoughts came to her mind like this. Why didn't you take care of these things? Why you had a good presence of mind while the word was being preached, while you had opportunity and service? Why did you deal with these matters of your soul at the time when you were able to do it? Now you're pressed and you're getting in a real urgent place. I'm going to say, folks, there are real perils to be empty when it comes time that you need to have something. When you ought to have salt and you ought to be able to be a blessing, and it ought to be something that is wonderful to experience. And here you are pulling for straws, empty. I don't have what I need. I don't have what it takes. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Oh, if I could stay back time, if I could just buy me another day or just a few more hours, oh, I'd get down to real business with God. If I could just get a little more time, I'd straighten things up that the Lord has come to me again and again about straightening up. Empty. Where were you in all the services? Well, it's like a hungry man when he's hungry and he dreams he's eating. Sometimes when we come to the service, it's like a dream in a sense. The word is going forth and we're there, but it's not really connecting in the vital way whereby it affects our living, our life, our soul. So we leave the service, glorious word, anointed to, spoke to my burdens and problems. It addressed things that been down in my mind and my heart. But oh, I didn't get it. And I leave that service empty. Empty. I think of a positive aspect here. You come into the service loaded down and weighted down. There's a good way to go out empty. When you cast it all on the Lord, when you lay it at His feet and say, Lord, I surrender, I submit, I'm going to yield it all to You. When you leave empty like that, you go rejoicing. But oh, we're talking about one that should have gotten the blessing that the Lord fixed up for them and they didn't get it. They were just like a man dreaming or sleeping and it didn't connect. And they left empty. God help us. Empty. There's some real perils of being empty. I'm going to tell you some of the perils tonight. I'm going to tell you some of the dangers of sitting under the gospel and not getting it alive and real in your own soul. I've come to know a group of folks. How can I say this? I have come to recognize that at any setting there are a number of folks who merely come to hear what's going to be said, to just kind of see what it's going to be and pick at it and pick around it. But eat they won't. Desire they won't. Yearn after they don't. And they just pick around and hear what they're going to hear and leave out just like they came in. Empty. Didn't get the things God had for them. It's important we get what God has for us. I was in a class one time. And the instructor was very conscientious of a small class. I think we had about 12 students, pupils in. And it was real intense. And I didn't like to miss this particular class. It's very good and very instructional and so forth. But it happened on a day that I couldn't make the class. I felt bad about it. But oh, I had no idea. The next day I assembled in the class, the teacher looked at me and said, "Oh, Herschel, we're so sorry you weren't here. I stayed up and worked on some things that I know would have been a blessing." She didn't use the word blessing, but it had been some things that have been helpful to you and you weren't here. I worked them out thinking about you and I thought about that. What did I miss? But don't you know the Lord is like that? Don't you know the Lord is thinking about you individually, personally? He's thinking about your prayers and your tears and He's fixing something together with you in mind, with love all on it. This is for my child. This is going to bless them. And you come and you won't eat, or you're in a kind of a foggy state. You're in a kind of a condition that you are not really really listening and to hear what God is saying. And you miss that, and how that grieves the Lord. One place the Lord said, "I would have healed them. I would have healed them." Another place He said, "I would have gathered them under my wings." That's God's design. He didn't want anyone to go away without the substance your soul will need to travel through this life and to be successful in the Christian journey. I want to be successful. I don't want to just be a Christian in name. I don't want to just have the title, but I want the substance and the life that'll bless others, that'll be a blessing and a feeding to others, folks. Because one of these days we're going to stand before God. You know what He deals with? only that which is His. That's what He's looking for. All that He put in, all that He gave, and He's going to take it to see what you did with it. Some perils of being empty. Let's look at the 12th chapter of Matthew. Empty. I didn't get down to business. I marvel at this. We have revival meeting down our way, and of course we give invitation out to folk. And it never fails that folk will tell you like this. Well, how many nights is it? Well, Lord willing, such and such and such. I'll come out one night. Folks, you want your soul to be blessed and fed? One night isn't enough. The Lord's going to deal in series. He's going to connect thoughts. He's going to send what you need. We need to get down to business. It's revival time. And there are some empty conditions that won't stand up in the judgment. There are some places in our lives, if we were called to meet God tonight, we would be on the short side of the judgment. God sends revival for our good. He wants you to dig. He wants me to dig. Someone asked me, said, preacher, are those messages reaching you? I certify you, they're reaching me. Glory to God. I'm running for my life. I'm running to all I know. I'm not just loading a big load in your yard and walking away feeling just like it doesn't mean anything. It means a lot to me, folks, to be all that I'm preaching about to you. It means a lot to me. Glory to God. I want to be saved in the end. You want to just boil it down to the final reality of it? I want to be saved in the end. What good is all of this if I come before the judgment seat and the Lord reviews the record? He has the record, you see. And He begins to look over things. And He says, not say anything. He goes to shaking his head. I'm nervous. A sister told a dream, a vision. I don't know what it was, but she told. She called it a dream. She said in the dream she distinctly felt that she was lifted up, and in her way of saying it, she said, I was heading on toward the pearly gates. She said, oh, I felt so good. And she said, I was hurrying along, seemed like just moving along some kind of way, some kind of motion that we don't understand. And she came to some great gates. She said on either side of these gates it was two beings, she called them angels. And she said the gate was ajar just a bit. And she was able to peek through it. What she saw, she said it was so glorious. And she said, well, I'll just go right in. And she said, a big hand appeared at that gate and said, you're not ready yet. I'm just letting you get a glimpse, but you're not ready yet, folks. We must be ready to meet the Lord at any time. We need to be ready. That's what this is about. That we be ready. God help us. Live a life and live true and faithful and be ready to meet the Lord when He calls. Empty. Perils of being empty. 12th chapter. Matthew, 43rd verse. I happen to believe these scriptures describe a soul that finds peace with God, who enters into the experience of justification, who experiences pardon and the lifted load of sin off. They actually have come to a place where they are clear with God, justified, peace with God. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. You ever thought about this when you get saved? What a great operation that is when the Lord forgives you and just breaks the power of Satan over your life and out of your life and just delivers you from all of that. And the expressions that I hear, I feel light, I feel better, I feel free, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, I feel clean. All of that relates here to me. Unclean spirit is gone. The thing that held me fast in the wrong way is gone. Where does he go? It goes out away from you, thank the Lord. But let me tell you something. He doesn't dissolve and disappear. I remember some time ago, I was praying, years ago, I was praying, and the Lord helped me to know that when a soul is newly saved, there's a zeal, a zealousness, there's a fiery burning in the soul, there's a delight in the simple things of God, and the devil knows at that point in time, there's very little that he can do to attract that soul again or to even have any way to touch that soul again. So he just kind of stands back. But the Lord helped me to know the devil never really gives up a soul that he loses. He never really just said, well, I give them up. I guess that's the end. No, he watches you. Yes. Glory to God. He watches you. He records and he observes. And the devil knows everyone that's short in their experience tonight. He knows you very well tonight, friend. That's something to think about, isn't it? He knows everyone that's short in their experience. And those that are not saved, they're just out there in his clutches, as we could put it that way. Well, he doesn't worry a lot about them. He's got them wrapped up. But the minute you begin to think toward God and be drawn toward getting your life straight, and I really want to be real, I don't want this play church business, then all antenna in hell begin to lift up, see? Somebody's trying to get free. And the devil in this very meeting has fought souls who wanted and needed to come to this altar, who need help in their souls. But the devil has fought you, I want you to know tonight. The Lord is doing all he can to send help to you, and you ought to work with God. When I got up to be saved, it wasn't easy. Amen. It wasn't easy. The devil showed me everything. He showed me my wife. She's going to see you cry. Oh, boy. I had to fight and wrestle with that. She'll see me cry. Well, I got past that. And the people are going to look at you. I'm amazed at souls that get caught right here. The people are looking at me. Look at them. God help us. We all got eyes. Somebody's going to look at you sooner or later anyway. Amen. But the devil will use that and magnify it, and you'll be afraid. And the preacher will say, it's time to come and pray. If the Lord has spoken to you, and everybody holds steady, and you know God has spoken to you. Folks, we're talking about going out to meet God and standing before God and being empty. Without a prayer, I don't have anything. You know, we may be able to get by in this life. I knew some fellas, know some fellas, that they seem to be so quick and able that you just can't get them at a disadvantage. They can talk their way about out of anything. They're just quick and just... But this is one time your quick wit won't work. I'll just tell God anything. Oh, it won't work that way. He's going to do all the talking. He'll do all the talking, see, and we'll just stand there. God help us. God help us. There's needs here tonight. The meeting is coming down close to the close. And I know that the Lord sent me this way. I know that. Amen. Empty. I know souls that need help, that the devil has pulled up his scarecrows. See? Scarecrows. I don't know if they do it here, but I've seen places where they put an old stick out there and some rags and a hat. Few old pie pans and cans. Scare the crows away. Keep them from eating up the corn or whatever you're trying to protect. The devil's got scarecrows. And I want to say tonight, if you're under the power of any of those scarecrows, the power of God rebukes everything that'll hinder you from getting the help you need. Folks, get under the power of scarecrows. Devil's scarecrows. somebody gives you the eye, so you just kind of settle back on your seat. Almost defying you to get help. I'm going to tell you something. It's time for you. If you have to do it, close your eyes real tight. Stand up and feel your way up here. Defy that thing. Don't live under it any longer. I'm coming to get help for my soul. I don't want to stand before God empty. We're headed out, folks, and you just can't get fill-ups anytime you want. I've driven on some roads heading out west, and I'd kind of say, oh, I got my fuel looks good. There'll be a station, and I'll say, oh, I'm in good shape, and I'll keep riding. And after a while, the fuel's going down, saying, and I'll pass another one, and the wife will say, don't you think you need to top off? I said, oh, we got plenty. And we ride and ride, and after a while, I'll start perspiring and looking strange. You see, I'm realizing now that the fuel has steadily been going down, and I haven't put anything back in a long time. The poet said, they trust in the future. Their oil to supply. They look, alas, too late, our lamps have gone dry. And I'll tell you one thing, my eyes are peeled for a station now, any kind of station, whatever he charges, I'll pay it. I need some fuel. Amen. You know, this fellow's too high, we ride on by it over. It's a little cheaper down the road. You get to a place where you say, I'll pay whatever it costs. I'll pay whatever it costs. I was in a spot like that. Pulled in and went and had that big fuel thing and pulled in there, and the fella knew he had it going. One little dusty, dirty looking pitiful pump. Cars stacked up. And everybody was patiently waiting because they needed what he had. Listen, folks, we need what God has. We need it. It's not optional. You can't ride and ride and ride and never fill up. Refill, top off. Amen. Well, I got saved, all right. When's the last time you topped off? It's a long journey. We don't go to heaven just after we get saved. We got to go out and work on a job and live in a home and go to school and all that such thing. And it eats up the fuel, doesn't it? It eats up the fuel. So you stop in at the station, fill her up. None of this $2 worth business. I'm on a long trip. Fill it up. What's cost isn't the issue. I want to keep traveling. I have been in the embarrassing place of running out of fuel. My fault all the way. Folks, there's no excuse for running out of fuel. It's everywhere. Stations everywhere. There's no excuse. The bad part about it, money in my pocket. Just embarrassed is all you can say. Here you are standing here and the wife looks at you and you look at her and you don't really want to look at her because she's saying, okay, mister, told you. I told you! And she's right. We should be humble about it. I'm so sorry, honey, to put us through this. Spiritually, spiritual things now. What an embarrassing position to be in. That's sister so-and-so, that's brother so-and-so. But they're stalled out. They gave out. What? He gave out? He sure did. He's completely out of gas. He's empty. Oh, yes. I've had to walk a good distance. You know how those fellas are. They won't sell you gas in anything. I didn't have a can. I didn't have a box. I didn't have anything. I'm out of gas. Do you have a can? He acted as if he didn't hear me. See, it's my responsibility. responsibility all the way. He's not responsible to have a can for me when I live careless like that. When you carry yourself in a careless way and don't take advantage of spiritual feedings, God isn't going to obligate himself to have the can and somebody pour it in and, you know, pour a little in the carburetor. It's quite a task getting back going once you get out. Yes. You really get out. It's something to get that thing going again sometimes. And then you do that too long, you know what that is. Battery gone. But all the time I was running good. I should have kept the thing running. God help us, folks, spiritually now. God's blessed you. He saved you. He put you in the church of God. Keep the thing running. Do it in the meetings. You do it in the services. You do it in the revivals. You take care of your vehicle, see. Don't worry about who's looking at you. Fill me up. I've gone in. That taught me such a lesson. I've gone in, didn't need a couple of dollars to fill it up. It's just a good feeling knowing you're full. Amen. That doesn't worry me. I can just ride and smile. I'm full, see. Not worried about getting stalled out somewhere in the dark of the night and off on the side of a mosquito-infested place. I can ride. And some of those places that we've gone through, I wouldn't want to break down. Ooh, look how dark it is. Somebody said, well, it'd be bad to break down here, wouldn't it? And I look at my gauges. To be sure, I've got enough to go through the dark places. Folks, you need enough salvation to carry you through the dark places. That's no place to break down. There's some perils of being empty, folks. You'll break down in places that it's hard to get any help. Because few people travel that way. Serious travelers avoid that kind of thing. They get on the four lanes and the expressways and highways and ride. You out on a back road somewhere empty. Lord, please send somebody here. Amen. I've lived through all this. I know what I'm talking about. And you promise yourself, hopefully get some good lessons and you don't be there again. Read, please, now. Listen to what it says. This unclean spirit, it goes out. And he's gone, all right. And everything's wonderful. And you're riding along. You're cruising now. But if you don't stay constant and fill up and get help all along the way and keep things tuned up right. Don't you know the devil is lurking around the corner somewhere? The Lord help me to know the devil is wise and shrewd enough that he'll wait for a soul. He'll wait 20 years to see how you fare. Waiting. God help us. See how you're doing. How are you doing, incidentally? How are you in your soul? I ask people that. How are you doing in your soul, brother? And sometimes they can't answer. Sometimes they don't know how to answer how I'm doing in my soul. Think about it. How are you doing in your soul right now? Think of it in terms of full tank, half tank, quarter tank. I'm almost out. See? Serious, isn't it? Now, what about this spirit? Then he saith, this spirit, he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. You know what he's talking about? Where I used to live. Let me go check on him. I don't even like a hollow sound. One evening we were looking for some ice. You know these ice chests they have in front of the grocery stores? You can get bags of ice. And we saw the sign. It said ice. We needed some ice. Brother was there with me. I said, pick up a couple of bags of ice. He said, all right. And I saw him walk over to the box. He pulled the door open. He stood there a while. And I saw him stick his head in. And I saw him get right on. He said, brother, this box is empty. Oh, listen, I got a thought, folks. The Lord comes along and he pulls our door open. He's looking for something. He's a lot desiring that I've been putting in. I want to see where we are. And he opens the door and he stands there while he... You see the Lord all pitiful? No,
Nothing in here.
Nothing's in here. Who is that, the right one? Yeah, that's her. She's empty now. God help us, folks. Don't you know the enemy of your soul along the way of life is just waiting for you to get in a weakened state so he can charge and jump on you with everything he's got? There are perils in being empty, folks. Oh, I'm not doing too good right now. Well, what are you doing about it? You ought to be alarmed. You know you're not doing too good. You know you're having some difficulties. You ought to be concerned. I'm not going to wait for the thing to stop running and then call for help. It's still running, but something's not right. I'm crying, help me now. Help me. I don't want to stop. Why is it? Why should we stop and become dormant and idle? I'm telling you, there's danger here. If you stop, the devil will tell you, you just as well give up. You don't have anything anyway. Didn't you know the devil is a liar? He lies to people. Amen. He doesn't think anything about telling you a lie. Here you are, near empty. And he'll tell you, you got as much salvation as the rest of them. That doesn't justify my pitiful condition. If they got what I got, boy, we're all in trouble. And I'm going to be justified in that old weakened, substandard condition, just barely getting by, and the devil justifies you, you got about as much as the rest of them. We all going to meet up in hell if we don't make some changes. Amen. The fellow you thought you couldn't stand, friends forever in hell. It's perils in being empty, folks. It's perils in letting your experience run down. Not taking care of your walk with God is dangerous. He goes to the house he came out of. I will return. And when he is come, he findeth it empty. Empty. My wife and I first married. We got our first little apartment. We were so happy. But it was empty. And I would take a little pad and walk around the house and write on it, sofa, and put it in a big empty space. Lamp, and I put that over here, end table. So I was trying to soothe and comfort her. But she'd walk around in that empty house, and she'd look at me and say, our house is empty, brother. Empty's bad, folks. Here you are in a house, no furniture, nothing. It was clean, all right, but living was kind of rough. Come time to eat, you held it in your hand. No table. Sit on the edge of the bed. No chairs. It's dangerous to be empty, folks. Somebody with a big empty house and jump outside and get in a big old long car and drive off. I'm really going. Some perils in being empty. I'd rather have the things that sustain my life and have to walk a little bit than to have a big front. Big front. I'm really empty, but I want to appear to others to be full. So this is why I drive this kind of car. I hope you understand. I hope you get in the message. Sometimes in our spiritual walk with God, we're really empty. Our house is really empty, but I want to look good to my pastor.
All right.
So I might ease up to him and hug him and slip a 50 in his hand. Boom.
All right,
then. I don't have nothing in my soul. But I don't want him to know it. He already knows it.
Yes.
If he's a man of God, he already knows your number.
Yes. That's right.
You're empty. Oh, I'd rather see you weeping at an altar and passing me by and getting what you need in your soul. Because one day you'll stand before the righteous judge, friend. A little $50 won't get you by. Oh, I'm not telling you to hold back on your pastor. The Lord tells you, give him $50, give it to him. In the name of Jesus.
But let it be motivated pure and clean. I want to be seen this way. I want to appear. If you work as hard at being real as you are, be having the realities as hard you work wanting to appear to be real, you'd be all right. There's folks that work harder at appearing to be real. And all you have to do is break down at this altar. Amen. Break down. Just break on down. I need help. The oil is gone. I'm empty. He finds it empty. Swept. That makes me to know salvation is real. Sometimes we say, maybe they didn't get saved. Folks, it's not difficult to get saved. The Lord will save your soul. When you meet the conditions, He'll save your soul. That's not difficult. What we're talking about is from the time I'm saved on through the remainder of my life, keeping that experience up to date. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out, folks. Work it out. Maybe he didn't get saved. Yes, he was saved. I know folks who were really saved, but they thought they could ride on that one tank full forever. God help us. Thought they could ride on and on and on and on. And if you'll notice those kind of folks, all they can talk about is how it used to be. Amen. We used to hold it, brother. What are you doing now? What has God done for you today? Amen. What did He do for you this morning? That's somebody's keeping their tank full. He blessed me this morning. We sure used to have a good time. Where are you in the picture? God help us. Empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits. Now I'm going to show you something. This is how folks get overtaken by spirits. This is how unclean spirits get in. You get spiritually low and you can't fend them off. We talked about some of this. You get in a place where you've been hurt and bumped and bruised and you're not filling up and staying at the altar and crying for humility. Lord, help me. I need help. You let those things mount up. It's drawing from your reserve. You know, the human body is a wonder. It is a marvel. A lot of things can go wrong in the body before you fall out. Because the body is so set up that it compensates. There are parts in your body that will take over a duty that's not designed for them because life-threatening conditions exist. And this part of the body will come to the rescue. But lo and behold, when it does, another part suffers. And after a while, this is why we find folks that say they look the picture of health. He looked just like he was still alive. But he died. See? He looked good. But he died. And those who study into the body, they really break it down and get in there and say, oh, here's what happened. This gave out and this compensated for it, and his body was drained of the vital sources that kept his life flowing. Folks, spiritually speaking, if we don't keep our experience up to date, there'll be a drainage. A drainage of that substance that keeps us going along in God. And then we die when it reaches that crucial point. All the lights went out. All the vital fluids went out of the body. They died. Those things we call instant, sudden, started a long time back. All we discern is he was walking and laughing, and I talked with him and he fell over. Backtrack him a little bit. Study carefully. You'll find the things that were all along the way leading up to death. That's true spiritually. Stop feeding. Stop eating. Stop praying. Stop digging. Stop yearning. All of this is just a good track record to die spiritually. Then you fall over one day. See? Oh, we don't understand. was such a wonderful brother. And now he's gone. These spirits team up. Scripture says a man is drawn away enticed of his own lust. We don't stay filled up with God. We're going to fill up with something. We're going to stay full of something. There are people that are actually full of the devil. Full. I've met them. I know some. They're full of the devil. I spoke about religious spirits. Most every religious spirit is of the devil. God help us. He taketh seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there. They didn't even have to fight. You know what the good strategic planning and battling is? To be able to take the enemy without a lot of bloodshed and destruction. Those who are enemies to our country and our way of life would love. They don't want to bomb Washington, D.C. down to cinders. They don't want to blow up all these big cities and all this nice living that we have. They'd like to get us in a weakened state morally. We're getting on another subject. But break down the moral fiber. Break down the structure of the home. Break down authority. And you won't have to worry about it. They can walk in. They can walk in. We got a generation coming on now that have no regard or respect or reverence for anything. And they are. That's right. Go ahead. And then they walk in. They walk in. Very little opposition. There's not enough strength left to oppose anything. We're in trouble, folks. This works on a level of political level, too. So how could they do that? How can they pass these kind of laws? The fiber is so broken and so deteriorated that there's not a sound mind left that knows how it really should be. We're just that empty as a people, as a nation. There's a few that understand, but the majority, why not? Let's just welcome the gays with open arms. Something's wrong, folks. It's the result of one of the perils of being empty. Every now and then somebody will pick up the word and read something from the word of God. God said this. Oh, bless the Lord that there are those who will still be guided by the word of God. What does he do? Seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse. That explains something, doesn't it? He's worse. She is worse now. The gradual decline, not keeping up with my soul, not being honest when the Holy Ghost rings my doorbell. I'm like that man in a dream. I leave out of the meeting house and I'm still empty. Worse. We've got that all around us. People that have gone back on God are worse than when you first knew them. The Bible says it. I have a warning here. Take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. Oh, I cannot state this with the emphaticness that it ought to have. I'm too feeble to do it. But take care of your soul. Empty. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. They failed to get the realities of God. I'm going to say this, folks. It's dangerous. I've known folks to get saved, have a glorious conversion, weeping and just testify, and you see the glow on their countenance
You hear the clearness of their speaking, and it witnesses with you the Lord has done a great thing for them. And then they fall under the influence of the Tater family. You know the Taters? They live here. You got Agitator. Spectator. Dangerous fella. Commentator. Tater family. And they fall in with that group, and oh boy, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You were running well the last time I saw you. Well, I expected by now great things from you. Who hindered you? I met this family called the Taters. Stay away from the Taters. Agitators and the spectators and the commentators. Stay away from them. Take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. Oh, listen, my heart is breaking right now. I know souls that were once on fire for the Lord, bringing others with them, having great influence on others for righteousness, who got caught up with the Taters. And they stopped taking care of their soul and became involved in things that did not add to their spiritual growth. Please hear what I'm saying to you. Didn't help them in their soul at all. Got low on fuel. And that old devil came back around. Found them empty, swept, garnished, but empty. And he just walked in. Amen. He just walked in. The things that began to come from them are worse things than I've ever known them to do. To tears and regret and remorse for all of us. When I look on those souls, I must say I am grieved and hurt deeply. Take care of your soul. Yes. Keep your tank full. The meeting is on and God is giving out ration. Spiritual rations. Fill up. Come by without money. He said, oh, everyone that thirsteth. Every one of you. Come and eat, drink, be filled. It's time to do that now. It's time to do that. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I have half a tank. By tomorrow, you may not have a half a tank. Just run into a real trial, a real test. By nightfall, you may be near gone. I'm about to fill up. A sister tells me in a awakening in the morning one morning, and the Lord just impressed her, get on your knees to prayer. Said she went to prayer. She prayed and prayed, not knowing altogether her purpose, but she prayed and prayed. And later on that morning, a little later, the word came. There was a terrible accident and different things that happened to some of her loved ones. And she found strength to sustain her, that she could call on God. She was in a place where she was able to meet that kind of a test or trial. Now, if she'd have bypassed that time of prayer, she would not have been able to meet that with grace. Folks, the Lord wants to fill us with grace. He wants you to prosper. So He sends the Word. I'm going to stop here. I want to give a space for us to deal with the Word tonight. I want to give a space tonight for us to consider, if I go out tonight to meet the Lord, what condition will my soul be in? In terms of full, half full, empty. You can tell real clear. A brother told me. He said, brother, I was taking off on a trip. He said, check your tires, check your oil.
He said, the gas will take care of itself. You have to watch that, see. You're going to have to keep your eyes closely fixed on the Lord. I do too. You're going to have to keep yourself in the love of the Lord. I do too. I'm going to have to do like Philippians 4 and condition and train my mind what to think on. Amen. I cannot allow my mind to be idle and wander. That's dangerous. It leads to an empty state. What happened? Well, I began to read what? See? Was it spiritually edifying? Was it something to build you and encourage you in the Lord? Well, not really. Folks, that'll lead you down. Needless to say, when you get caught up on that television, it'll drain you. It'll drain you if you want to stay in the place that God wants you and be filled. Ephesians 5 talks about be filled with the Spirit. Singing song, making melody in your heart, praising God. That's the normal Christian experience. That's normal. You go through those dry places where you're not filling up. After a while, you're going to be out. You're going to be empty. Any dry places tonight? Any places tonight that need some attention? Let me urge and encourage you with all the love of Jesus Christ to come to the altar tonight. I want to say this before I take a seat. When the Lord deals with you in a public assembly such as this, don't think you can go home and take care of the matter He's brought to surface. You have to deal with it right in that place where God brings it to the surface. He's dealing with you here. This is the place to pray. Don't say, I will pray tonight before I turn in about this matter that God wants you to deal with here. He's here tonight to help you maintain a very up-to-date experience. We need it to go to heaven, folks. We need it. There's stretches along the road where you won't see a filling station for some time. There are stretches along where it'll just be, Lord, my hand is in yours. But because you make Him your trust, just when you need that fill up and help, there'll be that place too. But you cannot afford to bypass fill ups. That's the point. You can't say, I'll take care of this later. The Holy Spirit is saying, tonight. Why not tonight? Right now, you know this is you. Before I was saved, I was an unsaved man. And the Spirit of God began to deal with me. And I knew it was time for me to move to God. I believe the Spirit of God is that distinct. And I believe to save people, it doesn't take that much to move them. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saved, and it doesn't take the Lord all night to bring to my attention I need some help. This is a revival meeting. Thank God I moved when I was unsaved, coming to be saved. Now, it ought to get easier and easier to move at the call of the Lord now that we're saved. Easy to move. Oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't know I was that in that close of apparel. Pray for me.